Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Here, There, and Everywhere. This is What's Your Ruth? And it is 8-8-2013, and it's 8 a.m. What a coincidence, huh? All righty then. So how's everyone doing this morning? Have you been moved by the Holy Spirit today? Have you been talked to this morning? Did you go into your prayer closet? Did you ask the Lord Creator to guide and direct your steps, your words, your thoughts, your inspirations today? You know, a lot can be said about man and the words of man, and how most of the words leave us tempest-tossed, because that's what they are, is just words of men. They have no great meaning. They are imperfect. It's the blood of Christ that marks the beginning and the end, not the words of men. I keep hearing an echo over and over and over again. Why are we not taught the words of the true gospel in the church? Well, certainly we do understand why. Because they're not allowed to. They have a tax situation to deal with. And they have these groups called the Council on Governments that have infiltrated every single community. And they attend these churches, and they have every one of these pastors hand bound to the government. So if you think you're going to learn the truth from them, all they want to do is pacify you. And they've made agreements to the government to keep you under control. So just something to think about. Infiltrated. A little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. Remember that. So anyway, I want to kind of remind you that in this new system, we're in a new system. Yes, we are in a new system, because in Hebrews 9:10, it said, for the old system dealt only with certain rituals, what foods to eat and drink, rules for washing themselves, and rules about this and that. The people had to keep these rules to tide them over until, da-da-da-da, until Christ came with God's new and better way. He came as high priest of this better system, which we now have. All right. So, if we were then not allowed in the old system to enter the Holy of Holies, but now we are. Because under the old system, the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of young cows would cleanse men's bodies from sin. But Jesus Christ's sacrifice frees us from the worry of having to obey all of those old rules and makes us want to serve the living God. For it is by the help of the eternal Holy Spirit Christ willingly gave himself to God to die for our sins. he being perfect without a single sin or fault. This is the blood that marks the beginning of the agreement between you and God. The agreement God commanded me to make with you. In the same way, he sprinkled the blood of the sacred tent on whatever instruments were used for worship. In fact, we can say that under the old agreement, almost everything was cleansed by sprinkling it with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. This, he says, this time he will come, bringing salvation to all of those who are eagerly and patiently waiting for him. He came once for all at the end of the age to put away the power of sin forever by dying for us. And just as it is destined that man die only once, you can reference that in Hebrews 10:27. And in addition to that, I'm not sure where that is in the book of Ecclesiastes. That is why Christ said, as he came into the world, O God, the blood of bulls cannot satisfy you. So you have made ready this body of mine for me to lay as a sacrifice upon your altar. I have come to do your will, to lay down my life just as the scripture said that I would. And now, because he has, under this new plan, we have been forgiven and made clean by Christ dying for us once and for all. Because Christ gave himself to God for our sins as one sacrifice for all, for one, once for all, and sat down in the place of the highest honor at God's right hand. Because one offering made perfect in the sight of God all of those whom he's making holy. And if you have the Holy Spirit, it testifies that this is so because he has said it so. Because this was the agreement he made. And he said, I will make these people of Israel my people, though they broke their first agreement. I will write my laws into their minds so that they will always remember my will, and I will put my laws in their hearts so that they will obey me always. And then I will never remember their sinfulness and lawless deeds. Because he cleaned the house. Because our bodies have been washed with pure water, we can look to him for salvation because God promised it to us. And there can no longer be any room for doubt. And if we can tell others that the salvation is ours, there is no question about what we will do and what we will say. We will do what he wills us to do and say. Do not try to outdo each other in being helpful and kind to each other. Oh, let me send that. In response to all he has done for us, let us outdo each other in being helpful and kind to each other in doing good. Let us not neglect each other in meeting together. If anyone sins deliberately by rejecting the Savior after knowing the truth of forgiveness, the sin is not covered by Christ's death. There is no way to get rid of it. Don't ever forget the wonderful days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you kept right on with the Lord. Even though it meant terrible suffering, don't let your first love fail away. sometimes you might be laughed at. Sometimes you might even be beaten. Sometimes people might just stare at you. You suffer those things with others. But there is a heaven awaiting you. Things that will be yours forever. So don't let this happy trust in the Lord die away, no matter what happens. Always remember, those whose faith has made them good in Christ's sight must live by faith, trusting in Him in everything. Otherwise, if they shrink back, God will feel no pleasure in them. Our faith in Him is what assures our soul's salvation. So what is faith? Confidence insurance is something we want is going to happen. Because it's by faith, by believing God, that we know that the world and the stars, in fact, and all things were made by God's command, and that they were all made from the things that can't be seen. And even Enoch trusted in God, too. And that's why God took him away to heaven without dying suddenly. He was gone because God took him before this happened, God said. How pleased he was with Enoch. These men of faith I've mentioned died without ever receiving all that God had promised them. But they saw it all awaiting them on ahead. And they were glad, for they agreed that this earth was not their real home. That they were just strangers. This is the thing here. Wasn't it by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, said, "Blessed be each of Joseph's two sons," as he stood and prayed, leaning on the top of his cane? And wasn't it by faith that Joseph, as he neared the end of his life, confidently spoke of God bringing the people of Israel out of Egypt? He was so sure of it that he made them carry his bones with them when they left. Well, some men and women receive their faith. Some receive their faith through loved ones. Some receive their faith through the Holy Spirit. Some just receive it from a testimony, received one moment. They refine their faith to trust in God. These are the men of faith. And since we have such a great crowd of men, they watch us from the grandstands. So we should strip off anything that holds us back. We should always keep our eyes on Jesus, because He is our leader and our instructor. If you want to keep from becoming faint-hearted and weary, think about His patience. As sinful men did such horrible things to Him. And you received encouraging words from Him. Don't be discouraged. Lift yourself up. Even when He whips you, He wants to prove that you're really His child, because God will train you. He's doing this because He does what any loving father would do. Who heard of a son who was never corrected? Being punished isn't enjoyable while it's happening. But afterwards, we see great results. We see a quiet growth in grace and a growth in character and spirit. So take a new grip with your tired hands and stand firm with your shaky legs. And stand forward and mark out a straight, smooth path for your feet so that those who follow behind you, though they may be weak and lame, will not fall and hurt themselves, but will become strong. Let God train you, for He is doing what any loving father does for his children. Try to stay out of quarrels and seek to live a clean and holy life. Patient and quiet. Yes. Jesus Himself has brought to you a new and wonderful agreement. He's brought Himself, Jesus Christ. So don't be attracted by any new ideas. Don't be attracted by ceremonies and oaths. Don't be attracted by spirituality and gifts. Do not. Jesus Christ is the same today and forever. Jesus Christ has never changed. Jesus Christ has come to remove the yoke. This Melchizedek was king of the city of Salem, and he was also priest of the Most High God. Even when Abraham was returning home after winning a great battle, Melchizedek met him and blessed him. And even Abraham took a tenth of all he had won in battle. And Melchizedek's name means justice. And he is also the king of peace because the name of his city is Salem, which means peace. And Melchizedek, the king of the city of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, had no father, no mother. There is no record of any of his ancestors, and he was never born. And he never died. But his life is like that of the Son of God, a priest forever. See then how great Melchizedek is, that even Abraham, the first and most honored of all God's chosen people, gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the spoils he took from the kings that he had been fighting. Yes. God took an oath that Christ would always be a priest. Because if Jewish priests and all their laws had been able to save us, why did then God need to send Christ as a priest with the rank of Melchizedek instead of sending someone with the rank of Aaron and the same rank of other priests? Although he never said that of other priests, only to Christ he said, "The Lord has sworn, and he will never change his mind. You are a priest forever under the rank of Melchizedek." Because of that oath, Christ can guarantee forever the success of this new and better arrangement. Because under the old arrangement, there had to be many priests that under that which the older ones died off, the system had to still be carried out. But under the new system, Jesus Christ is able to come unto God and bring all unto Him through Him And he's always there to remind God, sitting, that he has paid for their sins by his blood. And if you call on to him and you become his son, you receive his inheritance. You receive the blood. You receive the inheritance. He, therefore, is a testimony and your high priest. And he is the holy and blameless. He is sustained. He's undefiled by sin. He has been given to a holy place and a place of honor in heaven. This old agreement didn't work. But through the new agreement, I will make with the people of Israel, says the Lord, I will write my laws in their minds so that they will do what I want them to do, without me even telling them. They will want to obey my laws, and I will want to be their God, and they will be my people. And I will be merciful to them in all their wrongdoings, and I will remember their sin no more. Because God spoke all of these new promises of this new agreement as taking the place of the old one. For the old one is out of date and now has been put aside forever. The Holy Spirit uses all knowledge to point out to us that under the old system, common people could not go into the Holy of Holies as long as the outer room and the entire system. But the new system replaces it. The old system dealt only with rituals, with foods. Rituals of men, the doctrines of deeds of men that make void the word of God. For it is only the eternal Holy Spirit and Christ's willingness to give himself to God to die for our sins. He was the one that was perfect. He was the one that was without a single sin or fault. He came with this new agreement so that all who are invited may come and have forever all the wonders of God that he has promised them. God promised to rescue them from the penalty of sin. And while they had committed them, even while under the old system, he has provided a new way. He has provided a new way. Don't you understand that if someone dies and leaves a will, a list of things to be given away to certain people when he dies, no one gets anything until it's proved that the person who wrote the will is indeed dead. And when the Creator God, the Jehovah Jireh God, the great provider God, provided the blood at the holy seat of God, proving that he had in the flesh indeed given his blood, the new oath came into effect. The will goes into effect only after the death of the person who wrote it while he is still alive. No one can use it to get any of the things he has promised them. That is why the blood was sprinkled as proof of Christ's death before even the first agreement could go into effect. Yes, this is the blood that marks the beginning of the agreement between you and God. He came once for all at the end of the age to put away the power of sin forever by dying for us. He brings salvation. And he brings faith to those who come before him. You can never please God without faith, without depending on Him. And anyone who wants to come to God must believe that there is a God and that He rewards those who sincerely look for Him. Because it is by faith, by believing God, that we know that the world and the stars and the fact, all things were made by God's command, and that they were all made from the things that can't be seen. So, it's by this great kindness, and it's not by being good. No. There are few being saved by goodness, self-goodness, but only by God's kindness. Not by them being good enough. For in that case, why would this free gift be free? It isn't free if it's earned. So it is the situation. Most of the Jews have not found the favor of God they are not looking for. Few have. The ones God has picked out, but eyes of the others have been blinded. This is what our scripture refers to when they say that God has put them to sleep, shutting their eyes and their ears so that they do not understand what we're talking about when we tell them about Christ. And so it is to this very day. King David spoke of this very same thing when he said, let their good food and other blessings trap them into thinking that all is well between themselves and God, and let these good things boomerang on them that fall back upon their heads to justify and crush them. It was his purpose to make us his salvation and make it available to the Gentiles, and then the Jews would be jealous and begin to want God's salvation for themselves. But this is only going to last until all of the Gentiles have come to Christ. And then the deliverer will come out of Zion. God's gifts can never be withdrawn, and he's never going to go back on his promises. You can't know his plan, but you can pray for his purpose in you and ask him with a humble and contrite heart and ask him to give you enough to induce you to act. For everything comes from God alone. Everything lives only by his power. And everything is brought forth by his glory. And to his glory be evermore. Be honest in your estimates of yourself, measuring your value by only how much faith in God and that which he has given you. Stand strong. Don't listen to men. Read your scripture, because you're not going to get it in the pew seat. They're not allowed to tell you. They're not allowed to. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things, all else will be given unto you this day, saith the Lord.